We're continuing to look at the book of Acts from the perspective of gifts. And in this particular case, we're looking at what is a very familiar passage to many people. It's not as famous as the Damascus Road passage. It's not the kind of thing that shows up in popular culture the same way. But it's the story of Paul receiving a vision from a man from Macedonia saying, "Come and help us." And it's the beginning of a couple of things. As I mentioned, it's the beginning of the "we" passages in Acts. Prior to that, it appears that it's the story of Paul, and now the language changes, and so we frequently hear "we." And so Luke has apparently joined at this point, and now we're into more of an eyewitness kind of thing. But more importantly, we see Paul being asked in a vision to go to Macedonia, to a new place where Jesus has not been proclaimed in the same way. So Paul goes to do outreach, evangelism, missions work, whatever you want to call it. And so the gift we're looking at this week is the gift of outreach. And this gift is one of those ones that seems obvious, and it is obvious, that outreach is a gift to those who are on the receiving end. When you tell people something wonderful, that's a gift to them, of course. But this gift is also for us. Because when we do outreach, that act is also a gift to us. It's a good thing for us. Sometimes it's even good in a physical, tangible sort of way, as it was here. This isn't what made me think of it as a gift, by the way, but I find it fascinating that when Paul and his companions meet up with these women who are praying, and of course there are women there, as you will notice from the book of Acts, the church moves forward through women more than any other thing. Paul is there, of course, and men are not irrelevant, but it's women who frequently receive this message first and who make a profound difference. So Paul and his companions, they go, they find people who are praying, including a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. Well, it's important for us to understand what's going on when you're talking about a dealer in purple cloth. Purple cloth was unbelievably expensive back then. The way you got purple dye was through some mollusk or a shellfish of some kind, and it took many, many, many of them to get enough to dye a garment purple. At certain points in the Roman, in the history of Rome, purple cloth was considered equivalently valuable to silver. So when you're talking about Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, you're not talking about somebody who just peddles clothing on the side of the road. This is a successful businesswoman who has influence. And when Paul meets her, she is someone who understands God's call upon her to some extent, and has seen in the religion of the Jews and in the tradition of the Jews a way to get towards God. She hasn't converted to Judaism at this point, or she'd be called something other than simply someone who is a worshiper of God. She'd be called a proselyte, she'd be called a... There's other names for it. But she's obviously someone who is reaching out to God somehow and sees in the Jewish world a way forward. That's why she's there praying on the Sabbath. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, is what it says in our text. Paul comes and says, "You are moving towards God. This is the God you're moving towards." She receives the message. She and the members of her household were baptized. And then the interesting part, she invited them to her home. This is a dealer in purple. The home they were invited to, I'm guessing, was big, filled with all kinds of lovely things. The response to their gift of the introduction to Jesus was a gift of hospitality in return. We don't always get those kind of tangible responses when we introduce people to God, when we do what we're called to do. But there's something profoundly important for us to not lose sight of. And that's the value to us of doing outreach. I think we can safely just take as a given that the gift of outreach to those who are being introduced to Jesus for the first time is of value in and of itself. We'll accept that part of the gift and talk a little bit more about what the gift is for us. We used to have a saying when I worked with Bible college students, well, not so much a saying as a way of thinking, that one of the worst kinds of people to be around are Bible college students who never see anyone except other Bible college students. You become insulated, and you become, generally speaking, kind of terrible people. Not all, of course, many were wonderful people no matter what, but generally speaking, people who were just stuck in the bubble of Bible college, and even seminary, believe it or not, tended to become less pleasant, less the kind of people they were. And that was one of the many reasons why part of your degree requirements, where I worked, was that you had to go out into the community somewhere. It could be a religious community, like a church, but you had to go out somewhere and be useful. You had to go and do things. And I used to work really hard at getting people to go and volunteer in non-church settings, although certainly religious, you know, youth shelters, all kinds of things, to get them out of themselves. Because people who are so focused on one thing tend to become monomaniacal, and that's all they talk about, that's all they think about, and they just become less well-rounded and frequently less interesting to be around, and frequently less useful to the people around them. Outreach is good for us. It's good for us because what it does is it takes us from what we know and what we believe and pushes us to pay attention to what it might mean to describe it to somebody else. I'm sure you've all heard this before, but what's one of the best ways to learn something? It's to teach it to somebody else. One of the best ways to think about what it is you believe and what you think and what you value is to describe it to somebody else, to talk to somebody about why they might want to consider this kind of thing. Good for us to talk about what we believe. But let's not get caught up in the notion that outreach is just talking. Very few of us are called to the same kind of ministry that Paul was. Very few of us are called to leave our place and go somewhere that is completely different to us, where we don't know anybody, where it's filled with strangers, and talk to them about Jesus. These days, it's harder and harder to find a place where people don't know anything about Jesus. It can still be done. But for the most part, we're not called that way. And also, very few of us are called to have those sort of cold calling evangelism moments where you just talk to people, complete strangers, about Jesus. Do they know Jesus? Do they want to know Jesus? Very few of us are called to that. Some are, and they're extraordinary people to hang around. These are the people who, when they're sitting next to somebody on a plane, say, "Do you know who Jesus is?" They then have a conversation about Jesus. For the rest of us, you ask that question, and the people frequently ask to be moved to another seat, or put their headphones on and turn their music up really loud, or whatever else. It's not, if you have that gift, it's wonderful. Please exercise it. Most of us don't. And so we can be excused from thinking, perhaps, that that's what outreach is and that we don't really have to do it. But outreach is so much broader than that. Edgar Guest said he'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Depending on who you've read, it's ascribed to all kinds of people, including Martin Luther, that preach the gospel at all times and, if necessary, use words. What does this mean? They're not just pithy little sayings. The saying is that everything we do, all of our actions, every day, in every way, and all of the interactions we have with people, need to demonstrate to the best of our ability the reality of God within us, our relationship with God through Jesus. And that's outreach. Outreach isn't just speaking out loud the truths of God. Outreach is coming to church. What we're doing here today, what we will do later by giving money in the offering if possible, that this building will continue to exist and be here and be seen by people whether we're in it or not, is a kind of outreach. When you treat people well, the people who are serving you at the supermarket or in a restaurant, when you treat them well because you see in them that essential value, when you've internalized the idea that every person is as valuable as every other person because Christ came to die for each of them, When you treat them well from that perspective, that's a kind of outreach. Outreach is so much more than what we say. There's a time for saying these things, and when it happens, please say them. But when you do say them, they're going to be so much more effective when they come against the backdrop of your living out what you're about to say. There's a certain kind of satisfaction that comes from living a life that represents well what you believe. There will be times, for many of you, there have been and hopefully will be in the future, when you will be the person who helps someone come to grips with that new understanding that they need a relationship with God through Jesus. That you will be the person who helps explain that to them and helps them move into that relationship. And it's hard to say who's more excited at the end of that. The person who's come into this new relationship or the person who's helped them. I haven't done this often, but I have. And it's an extraordinary experience. And it's a gift to me to be part of the process of helping somebody else understand who they are in God. In the same way that giving anyone a gift is a joyful experience for us as individuals, in the same way that we get authentic joy from that, our outreach can be the same. Some days that outreach will be explicit, as I said. You will talk to people, they'll ask you questions. Why do you go to church? What do you believe? And you'll answer those questions. But don't overlook the outreach that you do by treating people with respect and the dignity they deserve as other people for whom God sent His Son. That's a kind of outreach. And it's a kind of outreach that we need to be aware of. Every once in a while you run across these little, cliches is perhaps too strong a word, but perhaps not by much. This whole idea of, if you think this way, it'll change everything. Have you ever had somebody suggest when you're driving, if you're one of those people who struggles with other drivers, have you ever had anybody suggest that you should imagine that Jesus in a corporeal sense is in the passenger seat? Now, we all know the theological truth that Jesus is with us at all times. But thinking that way, doesn't that change perhaps what you might say in the privacy of your own car to the person who just cut you off? Well, yes, it probably will. Unless you're given to praying for people who have just cut you off. Which some are. I'm still growing in that area, shall we say. But that's a kind of outreach. And it's a kind of outreach that we ignore at our own peril. When we think that our actions and our behaviors are at best neutral, if not irrelevant, we lose sight of the power of influence that we all have. We lose sight of the power of our ability to affect the people around us for good. The people that we see all the time, our family members, our co-workers, yes, we have lots of time to build into them and all of that, but the people that you have a brief interaction with, you have no idea what your actions may do. And it's rare, not impossible, I don't think, but I'm sure it's rare that someone will intuitively understand that you are treating them well because you're a Christian. But hardly anyone is going to be offended and have a worse day because they've been treated well by you. Every time we treat people well, every time we go slightly beyond the bare minimum, we're creating a world that's better than it was before. When God created the world, He created it in perfection and with perfection. And then, because He chose to give us choice, some days I wonder why, but He did, we now have a fallen world, a world that is not perfect and a world that is not exactly the way God intended it. And we can't fix the world. That's beyond us as individual people. But we can fix our little tiny piece of it. And every time We behave in ways that bring honor to God. We bring honor to God. Every time we pay attention to that and think, if I treat this person well because I value them as a human being simply because they exist, we are bringing the reality of God into that situation. We're preaching without saying a word and without opening ourselves up to the accusation of being preachy. It's possible for us to do everything we can every day to make this world more into the world it was created to be. By how we treat people, by how we treat the environment, by how we manage ourselves in every way. When we bring glory to God through what we do and what we say and how we say it, that's a kind of outreach. Because outreach isn't just telling people things about God. It's demonstrating that God is alive within us and is making a difference in how we treat people and things. It's not the kind of outreach that strikes people with their need for Jesus. Although I suppose God could work that miracle. But what it does is it sets in motion the idea in people that the world isn't just a dog-eat-dog thing. That the world isn't just a zero-sum game where everything that you get means that I have less. Every time we treat people as they deserve, we remind them at some level that they're loved. And so when the time comes for them to be confronted with the claims of Christ upon them and His love for them, they're more likely to believe it. They're more likely to understand it. What you do every day can move people closer to an understanding that God loves them. And we need to remember that we can even push them away. Outreach is God's gift to us to do, not just to receive. We're given the great privilege of being part of the process where people come to understand their need for God and move into a relationship with Him through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that will change everything about them. And sometimes we do it by talking, but we can always do it by how we act, by what we do and how we do it. Outreach is a gift. It's a responsibility, I suppose, but it's not a responsibility in that way that we were given responsibilities when we were in grade school, when our parents presented us with the opportunity to take the garbage out as some kind of peculiar privilege. I know perfectly well because I just presented the recycling to Neela in the same way. This is how you get to be part of the family. We have a responsibility to do this, not because it's an onerous responsibility, not out of fear. We have a responsibility to do this because we love Jesus, and because we love Jesus, we love His people. And the people that Jesus loves is everyone. We can do outreach anywhere, anytime, without saying a word. And it's a gift to us to be part of it. Amen.